RC, for most people, February means gray skies and cold weather, but we have some special events planned for our listeners that will not only put them in a warm and sunny place, but it will also provide an occasion to meet you and some of the Ligonier teaching fellows.
Yes, I remember my days in Pittsburgh, and February certainly did mean gray skies and cold weather, but we're talking about the Ligonier Ministry's Caribbean Study Cruise. I'll be on board, God willing, to teach along with Dr. Sproul Jr. and Dr. Stephen Nichols for this special cruise on the Royal Caribbean ship Freedom of the Seas. It departs February 22nd and returns March the 1st. And so we can soak up all the sunshine we want in the Caribbean, and we can bask at the same time in the rich theological truths of Scripture, and also we'll have the opportunity to get to know you personally. I think it'll be a vacation that you will remember with fondness for many years to come. And so if you register today, you will also receive free complimentary admission to our national conference in Orlando, which occurs the very weekend before the ship departs.
Contact our friends at Sovereign Cruises by calling 877-768-2784, extension 101, or go to ligonier.org/events. Coming up on our program today, what kind of justification do you have, and why does that matter? Stay tuned. Renewing Your Mind with R.C. Sproul is next. Welcome to Renewing Your Mind with the founder and chairman of Ligonier Ministries, Dr. R.C. Sproul. We're in a series on the topic of justification by faith alone. If you're not quite sure of the meaning of justification, it simply refers to the way a believer is declared righteous by God. Today, you'll hear Dr. Sproul talk about two types of justification, analytic justification and synthetic justification. Now, those terms may sound academic and not all that important in the grand scheme of things, but by the end of this lesson, we hope you'll see why the distinction is important in understanding and appreciating how we can stand before a holy and righteous God. Here's Dr. Sproul.
In our last few sessions, as we've been examining this watershed issue of the doctrine of justification by faith alone, we've been looking at questions of what is saving faith and what do we mean by faith? And what do we mean by faith alone? Now, before that, we looked at the historic point of debate between the Roman Catholic view of justification and the Reformation view of the matter. And we saw the difference between the imputed righteousness of Christ and the infusion of the righteousness of Christ, the different ways of how we are connected to Christ, is the instrumental cause, the sacraments, or is it faith, and so on. Now, I try to focus as much as possible on the practical dimensions of this doctrine, but today I want to have one more little excursion on the theological foundation of this question that may get just a little bit technical. And so forewarned is forearmed, and I'm going to ask you to put your thinking caps on today and look at this from a little different perspective, a perspective that is not widely heard of or understood or discussed, but it's one, frankly, in the study of theology that I found very helpful and helps clarify the difference in the competing views of justification. And so, though this may be a little bit difficult, we're going to proceed slowly. There's two mistakes I don't want to make. One mistake is to assume that you who are listening to this know less than you do and patronize you by speaking down to you and insulting your intelligence. I don't want to do that. On the other hand, I don't want to make the opposite mistake, since I don't know who my audience is, really. I don't want to make the mistake of assuming that you know more than you do. And so if I am speaking below you at this time, please forbear with me. And if you're learning something new for the first time, then don't be fearful either. So having said that, let's plunge ahead into this discussion. I want to make a distinction between two kinds of justification. One is called analytical justification. Analytical justification. The other is called synthetic justification. Now, those are the two words. Those are the two abstract concepts, analytical and synthetic. Let's start with analytical. You know, we have these self-testing devices that the psychologists put out to tell us whether we're dreamers or doers or drivers or suppliant or whatever those different categories are. And one of the personality traits that's often highlighted in these self-tests is that of the analytical personality. In fact, even the body language books talks about it. They talk about that people who are intensely analytical take on facial features that reflect that. In fact, they say if you look at a person when they have their eyes open and there's no space between their eyebrow and their eyelid, that the eyebrow touches the eyelid and there's no gap in there, that those are the people who are fiercely analytical. You know, watch out if you see one of those, if he's your boss or something. He's going to be giving close scrutiny and evaluation to your labor. If, however, there's a big gap and you see the eyelid is bare there between the eyelash and the forehead, if you see that, then you say, oh, here's a person who's relational and isn't into all this kind of analysis, so on. I don't know, but I don't think anybody's been able to see any of my eyelid for 30 years. I'm about to lose them. I'm squinty-eyed, to say the least. If the proof's in the pudding, then my pudding would make me analytical. But what do we mean by analytical? Analytical means to analyze. And analysis involves careful study, observation, measuring, probing, classifying, sorting, and so on. And in philosophy, the 20th century has produced some significant movements in philosophy, one of the most important of which is called the School of Analytical Philosophy, that began with what was called linguistic analysis. And the philosophers, in analyzing statements that we customarily make as human beings and propositions that we assert or affirm, will look at these statements that we make and subject these statements to a rigorous form of analysis. And so philosophers and grammarians and philologists and so on have been able to distinguish among various kinds of statements or propositions. One such distinction is called an analytical statement. An analytical statement, this gets a little abstract now, bear with me. An analytical statement is a statement that is formally true. Not formerly, you know, like used to be true, but it's not true anymore, but true in a formal sense. That is, in a rational, logical sense. And formally, analytically true statements are statements that we say are true by definition. For example, here's an easy example of an analytical statement or an analytical proposition. A bachelor is an unmarried man. Now, let's look at that statement. A bachelor, that's the subject of the sentence. Remember when we had to parse our sentences in grade school grammar? Bachelor is the subject. And what's the verb? Bachelor is. And what kind of verb is that? It's a linking verb, okay? It's part of the verb to be. A bachelor is an unmarried man. An unmarried man. Now, here's the question. What do we learn in the predicate unmarried man that we didn't already know in the subject, bachelor? What new information comes to us when we say unmarried man? that tells us anything new about the word bachelor. Nothing. I mean, do you know any female bachelors? They're bachelorettes. Okay. Now, a bachelor, by definition, is an unmarried male. Correct? So there's no new information in the predicate that's not already there in the subject. Let me give you another illustration. A triangle has three sides. What have you learned that's not already contained if you analyze the meaning of the word triangle? Doesn't that necessarily mean three sides? Or let's make it even simpler. Let's get away from verbal propositions and go to symbolic ones. A common symbolic proposition that you're all familiar with. I'll write it on my blackboard. 2 + 2 = what? Come on, let's have some confidence here. This is not all that difficult. 2 + 2 = what?
4.
4, all right, now we got it. Now, we have something on one side of that equal sign and something on the other side of the equal sign. We have an equation. Now, with that equal sign, we're saying that both sides of the equation balance out. Is there anything in the 4 that's not already present in the 2 + 2? Now, this statement is a formal truth. 2 + 2 will always and everywhere be 4. I know there are people who play word games with this and try to use higher mathematics to try to trick you into saying that 2 + 2 = 5, but that's what it is, folks. It's a trick. It's a word game, and it involves certain forms of distortion to get you there. 2 + 2 always means 4, okay? The statement is true by analysis. It's a tautology. Now, you're probably wondering what in the world this has to do with justification. Well, if you'll just hold on to your hats, we'll bring this back home in a few minutes. But now we have one more term left to deal with, and that's the term synthetic. I'm sitting here looking out some people. Some people have some lovely clothes on, a nice sweater. What kind of material is that, do you know?
Cotton.
That's cotton. That's fine. I just knew you were going to say that. What kind is that?
Cotton,
thanks a lot. Does anybody have anything different? So silk doesn't help me.
Rayon.
Rayon, there we go. Rayon, Orlon, Banlon. What do those things all have in common? Rayon, Orlon, Banlon. What are they?
Synthetic
fibers. Plastics, okay? We use the term synthetic in a regular way, don't we? Particularly with respect to clothing material and types. We understand. Well, what does it mean? What's the difference between a synthetic fiber and a cotton dress? I always say, well, one is natural and the other one's manufactured or something. That's not quite true, because we manufacture cotton too, don't we? We use the fibers from the cotton plant and so on. But what happens in a synthetic anything is a mixture. We take various elements and mix them together and create a synthesis. The prefix S-Y-N comes from the Greek syn, which means with. So a synthesis involves the adding together of two or more entities, things, or ideas. That clear? It's easy? I learned this at Ligonier when we got the Geneva Bibles in and we were trying to get people to get them, and they sold out so quickly. We had three kinds. We had the hardback, we had the pure, genuine leather, and we had the bonded leather. And just in a very short period of time, we sold out of all of the hardbacks and all of the genuine leather, and all we had left was this big stack of bonded leather things. And so people would call up to Ligonier and say, I want to get a Geneva Study Bible. And they say, well, I'm sorry, all that we have is the bonded leather. And what's the obvious question? What's that? What's the difference between bonded leather and real leather? And some of the folks in our phone room weren't quite able to answer that question because they didn't understand all the intricacies of the manufacturing of leather products and how this is all done. And one of them said on the phone one day, said, Madam, I don't know the difference in how these things are made up. He said, but the big difference is this. We have bonded leather, and we don't have the genuine leather. So that was all the difference that person wanted to know, was it somewhere in stock or somewhere. But when we talk about something that is synthetic, we're talking about things that are added together, okay? Now, we apply that now to propositions or statements. Now I say this about our bachelor friend, our bachelor woman. She's just getting back at me because in our last session, I literally stepped on her toes, not just figuratively. But in any case, if we go back to our bachelor, and I said this, the bachelor is bald. The bachelor is bald. Now, have I learned something about this particular bachelor that's not analytically contained necessarily in the word bachelor? The only way it would be analytically contained in the word bachelor is if all bachelors were bald. But not all bachelors are bald. Some bachelors are bald. Some aren't bald. And I make a statement about a particular bachelor. I'm combining here two ideas. I'm combining the idea of bachelorness with the idea of baldness. And I have a synthesis, adding two or more ideas together. And that's how our language works. So a synthetic statement is a statement wherein something is added in the predicate that is not found automatically in the subject. Do we have that? Do we all have that? I'm hoping that if everybody here has it, everybody out there will have it too. Do we have it? We have it. Okay, they're all saying they have it. Now we'll have the exam and find out if they have it. Now, let's apply all this to justification. Historically, theologians have said that the fundamental difference between the historic Roman Catholic doctrine of justification and the historic Protestant doctrine of the justification is the difference between analytical justification and synthetic justification. And the Roman Catholic view is analytical. What does this mean? It means that in the Roman Catholic view, God will not ever pronounce a person just until righteousness inheres in that person. So that when God submits that person to his divine analysis, his scrutiny, his measuring, his evaluation, as he analyzes that human soul, he's not going to declare that human soul just unless he finds justice there. Unless that person who is justified, that his justification is true by definition. No simul justus et peccator, but only simul justus et justus. That's the only way a person can be justified, is to be found under divine analysis to be in a state of righteousness that inheres within the person. On the other hand, the Reformation view is called synthetic justification. Why? Not because it's artificial, not because it's manufactured, not because it's man-made, not because it's Orlon, Banlon, or Nylon, but because there is a mixture here. Something is added to the subject, to the justified person, to the believer. And what is it that is added to the justified person? The addition is the righteousness of Christ. And so the only way I can be considered, reckoned, deemed, declared, or pronounced to be righteous by God is if something is added to me that is not of me or even in me intrinsically or inherently. So that when God looks at me, he sees R.C. Sproul, okay? He subjects me to scrutiny, he analyzes me, and he can't find enough righteousness there to declare me just. Can't do it. Before he will declare me just, something has to be added to R.C. Sproul. And that addition is the righteousness of Christ. So that R.C. Sproul, the sinner, plus the righteousness of Christ combined produces a justified person. See, that's the heart and soul of the Reformation concept, that the only way God ever declares a person just is after he has added to that person a righteousness that is other than that person's own inherent righteousness, as we saw earlier, a righteousness that is extra nos, that is outside of us, that is alien. It's not our own righteousness. Properly speaking, it's Jesus' righteousness. That, again, I hate to keep harping on this and belaboring the point, but that's the difference that makes all the difference in the world. That what this distinction between analytical justification and synthetic justification is driving at and trying to illustrate graphically is our utter need for an additive, something extra to what God could find in our own soul under his divine analysis. God doesn't need a microscope to look at me and know that there's still sin here and that there still is unjustness in my life and in my heart and in my soul. And only if my unjustness and my unrighteousness is covered by something that is added to me, namely the cloak of Jesus' righteousness, will God declare me just. Finally, let me just remind you again of that metaphor of the cloak. This is Heaven Gate. This is the great cover-up where our nakedness is covered, as God covered his cowering creatures in paradise when they were hiding because of their nakedness. The Bible says of our righteousness, all of our righteousness is as filthy rags before God. And would God analyze my righteousness, this is what he would find, filthy rags. If he would analyze my spiritual, moral bank account, he would find a debtor who cannot pay his debts. But when he looks at me, he sees the cloak of Christ's righteousness, he sees the treasury of Christ's merit, and the wonder of his righteousness, which is added to me and by which we are justified.
If you've ever been in debt, if you've ever owed anyone anything and had that debt forgiven, you can readily see just how important it is to have our debt paid by Jesus Christ. You're listening to Renewing Your Mind with the founder and chairman of Ligonier Ministries, Dr. R.C. Sproul. Stay right here because R.C. will be back in just a moment with a Coram Deo on today's lesson. But first, you're listening to a series titled Justification by Faith Alone. We live in a world in which people think they can earn their way into heaven, or they believe that God will excuse their sins as long as they aren't too bad. But the Bible teaches something far different. You heard R.C. quote that passage from Isaiah in which God's Word says that all of our works are like filthy rags, even our best works. We need a better righteousness. We need a perfect righteousness. We need the righteousness of Christ. And we accept that righteousness by faith and by faith alone. In this series, Dr. Sproul combines a historical study of Martin Luther with a theological study of the doctrine of justification. Again, the title is Justification by Faith Alone, and it's yours when you give a donation of any amount to Ligonier Ministries. Our toll-free number is 1-800-435-4343. Our web address is renewingyourmind.org. Justification was at the heart of the Reformation, but it is a doctrine that is hotly contested today. This series can help you firmly establish your beliefs based on biblical principles. Again, call us at 1-800-435-4343 or online go to renewingyourmind.org. Now, here's Dr. Sproul again with a Coram Deo thought.
Let's go back to when you were in the sixth grade or seventh grade and had to learn how to outline sentences and break them into their parts of nouns and verbs and adverbs and adjectives and all the rest. Maybe at that time you didn't learn the difference between an analytical statement and a synthetic statement. And I hope that you've learned it today. And if you've learned it today, let's not allow it to simply be an exercise in abstract philosophy, but understand it in its application. Understand what synthesis we must have in order to stand before God. There needs to be a combination. It's a joint venture here, folks. My justification is not accomplished by me as a contributor in any sense of a joint venture in those terms, but rather that my justification is accomplished for me by the addition of somebody else's righteousness. And today I want to ask you this question. Do you have that? Has that addition been made to your account? If you've put your trust in Christ and his righteousness rather than your own, then you can rejoice to know that you have been declared just in the presence of God. If you try to stand before God on the basis of your own person you will fail that test because under God's perfect analysis, he will find you unjust still. And the only way he will declare us just is if we have justice. And the only place we can have justice, the only place we can get justice, is from Christ who provides it for us.
Thank you, Dr. Sproul. We want to remind you before we close today that Ligonier Ministries is a listener-supported ministry. We rely on your donations to provide the kind of teaching that you've come to appreciate on this program. And if you'd like to express that support through the mail, you can send a check to Ligonier Ministries, Post Office Box 865-777, Orlando, Florida, 32886. I'm Lee Webb, inviting you to join us again next weekend when we cover another aspect of justification by faith in a lesson entitled The Remission of Sins. That's next weekend on Renewing Your Mind.